There she waited with her eyes downcast, her body facing a locked cage where three doors, knickknacks, cardboard boxes, and other paraphernalia rested in the gloom. "That's the door?" I asked, passing her the keys to undo the padlock. My question hung on belonging, dangling unanswered. I didn't get a reply, not that I expected one. Hesitantly, she took the offered keychain, careful not to touch me. Turning her back, she tried a few before finding the right one and cranking open the gate. Her eerie silence was even more pronounced in the lifeless garage. No sound came from her bare feet, no rush of breath, no rustle of clothing. It was as if I stood there by myself. If I couldn't reach out and touch her to make sure she was flesh and bone, I would have juggled with the idea of her being a ghost. My mother would fucking love her. Not because of her beaten, broken aura, but because it was so rare for someone to be utterly silent. My cock hardened as the girl strode toward the three doors resting like retired guards by the wall. I didn't know what the other two were from, but she stood beside a white lacquered thing with axe marks and scrapes along both sides. Most likely from her barricading from the inside and her master doing his best to get to her. Images of what that experience must have been like swarmed me. Had she huddled and screamed as Ulrich fought his way to her? Or had she waited on the bed, already dead from terror? Fuck this. I stalked forward. My hand came up. The urge to soothe her catapulted my fingers to her cheek. My skin erupted from her delicate heat. I'd already had my single touch when I'd petted her hair. I wasn't permitted a second. But it didn't stop me. One moment, she stood close, arching her chin at the door. The next, she was across the cage, flying into a stack of boxes that tumbled in a clatter of butcher knives, butter knives, and sharp forks. Her eyes turned luminous in the gloom, locking on mine with rage. Shit. I'd forgotten myself by feeling sorry for this beaten wraith, but she hadn't forgotten her overwhelming hatred of men. I didn't look away, but I didn't explain myself either. I'd borrowed her for the night. If I wanted to touch her, I could. The fact that she'd leapt away meant I could report her to her master and have her punished. Or you could punish her instead. The distance between us grew thicker as we breathed. I waited, wanting to know just how deep her education in pleasure flowed. Tearing her gaze from mine, she swallowed hard. Piece by piece, she hid her loathing, replacing it with reluctant acceptance. Inching closer, her toes nudged aside sharp blades as she made her way to me and fell to her knees on the cold concrete. Half of me jolted with insane lust. Most of me shied away with repulsion as her straggly hair covered her face, but not before I saw the twisted disgust and echoing despair. "Get up," I murmured. Even though my voice was low, the cavern of the garage amplified it, layering it with bite. Instantly, she swooped up. The crackle of her joints and misused cartilage in her bones sounded like tiny gunfire. "Don't kneel. Not in here." Her chin bowed as she swayed in place. Awkwardness fell between us. I wasn't used to this. I hadn't bought a slave before. I was used to people doing what I wanted without me telling them. I was too fucking busy to micromanage. Having this girl linger for a command, any command, showed me I wasn't as much of a devil as I thought. I didn't want to give her a task that she had no choice but to obey. I wanted her to use her free will and choose me regardless of other options given. Sighing heavily, I broke the tension by raising an eyebrow at the scattered utensils by her feet. I didn't care about the mess. I only cared about this crazy girl and the livid rage in her gaze. She did fear me. It stank the cage we stood in. But she hated me more. Did she think I would do to her what Ulrich had done? She was right to think that. I still wasn't sure why I'd requested the night with her. Her eyes landed on the large butcher's knife by her foot. My lips curled, following her thoughts. Have you ever tried? Her shoulders stiffened. Have you ever tried to kill him? An audible gasp fell from her lips. Her face tilted to look, but she kept her eyes down. Ducking, I picked up the knife, holding it by the blade rather than the hilt. Pressing the wooden handle into her stomach, I whispered, "Touch it. Go on. Have it for all I care. Hide it and do whatever you want with it." My other hand wrapped around her neck. "Use it on him, but don't you dare fucking use it on me." Her unbroken hand didn't claim the weapon. I snatched her fingers, wrapped them around the hilt, and let go. The moment the weight transferred from me to her, I turned and grabbed the damaged door. Not saying another word, I carried it from the cage. Pimlico sucked in a deep breath, trembling where I'd left her. Lust showed on her features, not for me or sex, but for the knife. A few footsteps guided her forward before whatever discipline she'd endured overrode her desire. A single tear rolled down her cheek as she turned to pick up the scattered knives and forks, tucking the one I'd given her into the box. When the space was tidy, she padded toward me, fumbling with the padlock. God damn it! Of course she wouldn't take the knife. Who would, after years of abuse, knowing full well what would happen if she was caught? Was it kinder to ignore the fact she was too weak to take it, or accept that she was strong enough not to steal it? No doubt logistics had filled her head. She had no way of hiding it, no way of carrying it unseen into her bedroom. We were probably on camera in every place we went. She was right to leave it. But my voice sharpened in a command anyway. Wait. Placing the door against the cage, I strolled back and plucked the knife from the box, shoving it down my back waistband. I ensured my blazer covered the shape before grabbing the door again. Now you can lock up. Her eyes bugged, but she turned around and secured the padlock. I wanted to hear her thoughts. What was she thinking? Was she worried I planned to use the knife on her? Was she hopeful I'd use the knife on Ulrich? Her silence was wielded far too well, leaving me grasping angrily for answers. Turning, I carried the door while Pimlico trailed after me. The soft jingling of keys twisted my lips. The keys sounded like a bell. A bell around the neck of an innocent sheep heading to slaughter. I just didn't know if I was the heartless executioner or rescuing shepherd.
Pimlico. We were alone. My bedroom had a door. For the first time in over a year. My bathroom still didn't have one, and the shower glittered from where I kneeled on the floor at the end of my bed. But at least the corridor was hidden and peaceful, if only briefly in my room. Mr. Prust had pointed at the white rug with a raised eyebrow once I'd shown him which abode was mine. He'd glanced around the nondescript space with furious disappointment. I didn't know why he was angry. The decor was so bland and stark, no one could take offense from garish decoration. The moment I took my kneeling position on the floor, Mr. Press turned his back on me and set about fixing the door. He couldn't do a perfect job without the tools required to secure the hinges, but the wood blocked us from visitors, and he scooted the sideboard in front of it, giving us an element of privacy. Privacy. Well, not really. My eyes slipped to the corners of the room where I was sure cameras lurked. I'd never been able to find them. Even though I looked and knew they were there, I'd never spotted a flash of a lens. I should tell Mr. Prest, warn him, inform him that everything we did was on show. But how could I when I refused to communicate? The terror that Master A had made me live with for so long slithered over my body. I'd stupidly given in to a small second of relaxation when Mr. Press secured the door. I'd finally turned insane, believing this stranger and a flimsy barrier would somehow keep me safe. Stupid Pym, you're no more protected here than you were running free range around the mansion. I'm probably in more danger. I was in more peril because I knew Master A. I could picture him pacing downstairs, punching a wall or two, glaring at the ceiling as if he could penetrate the floor and see into my room. He would not take me being used privately well. He'd been banished. He'll do something. And soon. I gulped as Mr. Press turned to face me. Did he taste how dangerous this liaison was? How flimsy and volatile and terrifying? The moment he negotiated a night with me, he'd taken a match to a fuse and lit it, smoking and hissing, chewing up speed until a bomb exploded. Why, oh why, didn't you take the knife when you had the chance? For the 100th time since standing in the garage, holding the keys to so many things that had already been taken away, I cursed myself. Yes, I had nowhere to hide the knife. Yes, Master A would know the moment I took it, where I put it, and most likely use it on me as a lesson that nothing was mine to covet. But at least when he barged in, once his temper overflowed from watching us, I might have something to defend myself with. I would be punished for everything, not just a small hiccup in the garage. I should be horrified, fearful, tearful. Only, I'd been waiting for a day to be free for so long. If I stood on the eve of it, then so be it. Tonight I would either walk free or die free. Both were as appealing as the other. My attention switched to Mr. Prest. I'd hated him for what happened to me, but the longer we were together, the more my plotting evolved. He'd asked for a night with me because he felt what I did. He wanted to explore whatever this crackling awareness was between us. Before, I'd planned to ignore him, shut down, and avoid what he would do to me. But what if I could manipulate him into helping me? Yes, he had a multi-million-dollar contract with Master A that I doubted I could ruin. But it was worth the chance. I was worth the chance. Besides, I couldn't stop my curiosity toward the man who'd risked everything. Mr. Prest wiped his hands on his trousers from touching the dusty door. My attention lingered as he removed the stolen knife and placed it on the sideboard, blocking the entrance. He thought he had me to himself. He thought he was safe. He's wrong. Taking a deep breath, Mr. Prest ran his palm over his jaw. His head cocked, eyes trailing over my white dress in the position I huddled in, humble and submissive, the perfect well-trained toy. The longer Mr. Prest stared, the more the room charged with the same electricity from before. I shivered, cursing the goosebumps decorating my arms. I wasn't used to someone using the same tool I did. I was silent, but Master A was not. He filled my void with nonsense and threats, constantly telling me what would happen if I didn't obey. His regular chatter allowed me safe haven to be quiet. He enforced my vow to remain mute. But Mr. Prest was not my master, and he understood the power of sound all too well. Like an assassin, he moved toward my bed to sit on the hard mattress. My bed was the only place I had sheets to cover myself with, but like everything, Master A ensured I didn't have enough to fully warm for a good night's rest. Not that I slept unmolested in my own space often, only at my time of the month or if Master A was sick. I found it surprising that he'd suffered the flu twice, including 3 colds and 2 stomach fevers, that he blamed on me. But I hadn't been ill once, even in my malnourished state. Hoisting himself up the bed, leaning against the white headboard where I'd stuffed my notes to no one, Mr. Prest patted the space beside him.
Come.
The training I'd been given excelled past a diploma in obedience. I might not be at university like my friends, but it didn't mean I hadn't earned a doctorate in complying. However, it wasn't docility that made me obey. It was cunning. I needed to learn this man so I could trick him, win him, and find a way to use him. You'll give me what I want. You'll see. Keeping my eyes down, I climbed up, being careful with my broken hand, and once again kneeled with my chin downcast. I was never permitted to lie down or stretch. My body was used to being wound and bound, contorted into whatever pleasure bastards wanted. Jealousy filled me as my gaze landed on his outstretched legs, long and lithe, crossed at the ankles with nonchalant confidence. He hadn't kicked off his shoes, and the black leather soaked up meager light. They weren't glossy or ostentatious, matching his all-midnight wardrobe, deepening the grottos of his ebony eyes and matching jet hair. Shifting a little, he held out his palm where a pile of tarnished pennies rested. What the hell is it with this guy and coins? Tipping his hand, a cascade of copper tumbled onto the sheet by my knee. He didn't speak as the jingling money settled in the creases, resting against my skin as if I were a magnet.
I won't ask you again, because I see now your thoughts are worth more than mere pennies.
Picking up a coin that bounced back toward him, he flicked it with his thumb, making it spin in the air.
So I'll ask without giving a reward, and you'll answer because you want to.
I'll never want to speak to you or anyone.
Tell me what I want to know. You're here with me, away from that bastard, safe for the time being, so speak.
No way. My hackles went up, tasting the trap, already feeling the cold pinches of a snare around my neck.
You want to talk to me?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do, girl.
Girl? Ugh. Why didn't he use my name? Even though it wasn't my given one. Was I so nondescript not to earn a proper address? Did he prefer I wasn't giving an only noun, but rather remained an adjective or verb? I didn't move. No shoulder shrug or head flick. My body was on gag orders as well as my mouth. Mr. Press's voice hovered in the space far longer than usual. The words wisped like smoke from a blown-out candle, still visible but slowly fading the more time passed. When the final syllable was extinguished, he murmured,
"You don't like that, do you?"
"Like what?"
"That I didn't use your name."
My eyes widened until the delicate skin around them tightened with shock. "What the hell?" He smirked.
"What is your name?"
"You know my name."
"Let me rephrase that. What is your true name?"
I turned to stone. "You'll never know."
"Where do you come from?"
"None of your business." I stared harder, his eyes narrowed in frustration.
"How old are you?"
"Too old. Too young." The novelty of being asked questions threatened to fissure my nightmarish world. They were dangerous, but also the most inane and common. If I'd been on more dates, boys would have asked me the exact same things. And back then I would have answered. But not here. Not now. Chuckling under his breath, he leaned forward, his legs bent to support his raised torso. The mattress rocked a little beneath his weight.
"You know, I've been around many people who don't talk."
He danced another penny over his knuckles with effortless grace.
"It didn't bother me then, and it doesn't bother me now."
Snatching the coin in his fist, he growled,
"I'll get my answers from you, Pim."
"You can try." His smile turned cold.
"Before we're through, I'll know more than some superficial bullshit. I'll know who you are."
He shot forward, stabbing a finger in my chest.
"In there."
I flinched beneath his hold. He'd found a previous bruise, amplifying the punishment. Not that that was hard, with most of me covered in some injury or other. His eyes locked on mine. I wanted to scream. "You think you'll understand me? I'll know you better. How about a trade?" He could have my secrets if he smuggled me out of here. There was something about this man, something unknown and intrinsic and needed, so, so needed. I was naive to his monster, but that didn't mean a thing as I stared into endless eyes daring to go to war with him. The longer we stared, the deeper whatever linked us became. That damn electricity was back, flowing with no limits, hissing in my blood. Never looking away, his finger became two, then three, then four, until his entire hand pressed against my sternum. I didn't move. I couldn't move as he leaned closer, his nostrils flaring as his grip dropped to cup my breast. Tears welled, partly due to the invasion of being touched so tenderly, but mostly due to the weight of his gaze pushing me deep, deep into the mattress. My heart didn't stand a chance. It gave up trying to beat and just flopped over and played possum instead.
"Do you like that?"
His whisper jerked me from his spell. "No, not at all." Biting his bottom lip, he looked younger and more reckless at the same time. I'd never met anyone like him. No boys in my past or men in my present. He was alien and fascinating and entirely too frightening. Mr. Prest skated his eyes to where he held me. His thumb grazed my nipple. The damn thing budded for him. Pearl flashes of his teeth set more pinwheels over my skin as he bit his lip harder. I never thought a man biting his lip would be hot, but by God it was. Somehow, he made me forget that I wasn't there of my own accord, that we weren't on a date and there wasn't a mad owner about to burst through the door the moment Mr. Prest tried to sleep with me. The memory froze my spine, stopping it from turning supple with desire. The flow of connection from his flesh to mine ceased as suddenly as if I'd executed him. Pulling back, I kept my chin held high. His hand slid from my breast, falling heavily into his lap. Silence was an enemy rather than a friend, as our breathing fell into a slow, tattered rhythm.
"You're different to what I thought you'd be."
His voice licked where his touch had been. "And you're no different to who I thought you were." He ran his tongue over his lip where his teeth had nipped.
"Do you know why I asked for one night with you?"
I curled my good hand around my broken one, meaning to protect it but squeezed a tad too hard. "No." He looked at the ceiling, reclining against the bedhead again.
"Neither do I."
Tossing another penny, he caught it like a cat would a mouse, swatting it with his fist.
"But we have all night to find that out."
"No, we don't. We have until Master A loses his mind and comes for you." I watched him beneath my lashes. He sprawled on my bed as if he owned everything in the room and not just me. The same exotic aftershave he wore, plated with the cool air in his very attitude, was confident and powerful, chasing away terror of Master A appearing any moment. Abandoning the penny, he shot me a look. I dropped my vision, angry that I'd been caught looking. With a slight grin, he opened his blazer and pulled out a slim cell phone from the breast pocket.
"Almost forgot."
Unlocking the device, he dialed a number, his eyes glued on me as whoever he called picked up.
"Celix, I won't need the car tonight."
The tinny reply sounded, but I couldn't make out the words.
"Yes, I'm sure. I'm staying the night. We'll leave at first light."
"Leave? Where is he going?" I wanted him to go. Now, before I could forsake myself further. But I wanted him to take me with him. "Just break me out. You can leave me on the streets for all I care. Just get me out of here."
"Okay, fine. Stay outside. I don't expect you to, but if you want to sleep in the car, so be it. I'll be out at dawn."
Cutting the call, he tossed the phone to the bottom of the bed. My eyes tracked it. A phone. Within touching distance. A few seconds ticked past as I gawked.
"I take it you're not allowed to access such things."
Mr. Prest laughed softly.
"It's not going to bite."
"No, but it could call my mother, my friends, the police." Once again, his unnerving ability to read my body language gave me away.
"Ah, you're thinking about calling your family."
Using the toe of one foot, he tossed off his shoe, followed by the other, kicking them both off the bed and revealing black socked feet.
"By all means, try. I'll give you one chance to ring whoever you want. The password is 88098.
I jolted. You mean you wouldn't stop me? Who the hell was this man, and what was his agenda? Licking his arms behind his head, he whispered,
I won't tell.
Closing his eyes in some strange way, giving me privacy, he rested his skull in cradling hands. For an endless minute, I glowered at the phone. All it would take was a simple crawl and scoop and dial. I could talk to my mother after so long. I could finally inform someone what happened to me, beg them to come and have this horror end.
Of course, in order to use it, you'll have to speak.
Mr. Press's voice put roadblocks in my way.
Your call, Pimlico. Speak and earn your freedom. Don't, and the phone remains unused.
My lungs expanded with anger. That was his game all along. Damn him. He'd almost won. Yet, if he let me call, and I spoke to my mother, who truly won? Me or him? Both of us. My body decided before my mind. My good hand speared out, snatched the device, and curled around it like a tiger would her cub. Mr. Press never opened his eyes, but his smirk became a smile.
I look forward to hearing your voice.
Ignoring his taunt, I swiped on the screen and input his password. The code glowed in my head, never to be forgotten. The moment the call menu came up, I stabbed my old home number, making three mistakes because of severely shaking hands. I had a phone. I was seconds away from talking to the mother who landed me in this mess. My throat closed at the image of Mr. Press seizing his mobile and laughing, or that Master A would choose this exact moment to burst in. Panic swirled. What would I say to the woman who I'd blamed for so long? I waited and waited for the line to connect. Mother? Help? Ring, 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 ring. With each bell, my spine rolled further until I crouched on the bed, with my elbows digging into the mattress. I couldn't control my trembling, nor the shattered gasp as an automated message answered, instead of the woman who'd given me this half-life. I'm sorry. The number you have dialed has been disconnected. No forwarding contact has been given. Please refer to other means or call your local directory for more information. No. No, no. The phone fell from my hand, thudding softly as my forehead pressed hard on the bed. She'd not only forgotten about me, she'd moved on with her existence. She'd had experiences without me, built an empire without me by her side. I was nothing. Why didn't you call the police? You had one chance. The stabbing question ransacked me as Mr. Prest grabbed his phone and ended the communication. My one opportunity to ring for help, and I'd been an idiotic little girl desperate to speak to her mother. I wanted to slap myself. For a fleeting second, Mr. Prest stroked my shoulder before he settled back against the headboard.
Well, shit. I guess I won't hear you talk after all. Elder. Well, that fucking backfired. I hadn't planned to give her the option to speak to her past. It just sort of happened. One moment, my phone was something so common, a tool I used every hour of every day. The next, it was the holy fucking elixir for this delicate creature who trembled as if it could turn into a portal and carry her far away. My hands curled into tight fists. Who did you call? Her head bowed deep into the mattress, the hard-as-bloody-rock mattress. Not only was she beaten, shadows marking her face and every inch of her body, but her one place of comfort would grant yet more torture. My mind ran riot with who she called. Her father? Brother? Boyfriend? Who the fuck hadn't been there for her when she finally had the opportunity to ask for help? Don't be such a fucking hypocrite. I had no right to despise her past loved ones for not saving her when I was about to do exactly what all the men in her present had done. I should give her another chance. Let her ring the police. Be better than those who imprisoned her. That thought ought to stop me. But it wouldn't. Not after I'd touched her breast and my skin had detonated like the weapons I'd dealt in. I knew myself and I knew my limits. I could walk away from other temptations before it grew too strong to be ignored. But I doubted I could walk away from her without taking what I needed. Sit up, Pim. I fixed my mistake. When I'd called her girl before, her ripple of indignation had given me a clue. She hated being owned, but wanted to belong to a name. An interesting contradiction, layering her with yet more secrets I needed to steal. I held my breath, waiting to see if her despair would override my command. It didn't. Slowly her spine unfurled like a fucking tempting flower, raising her shoulders, bending her neck, followed by her rageful, sorrowful face. I hadn't lied about being around other silent ones in order to gain talents elsewhere. I'd been initiated into such a sanction. From the day I arrived to the day I left in disgrace, the masters never spoke, expecting us to know exactly what they wanted. I'd learned another language, becoming more than bilingual, but multilingual, understanding the nuances of eyebrows, reading hints from muscle shadows. I called on those skills the longer I was in her presence. Clearing my throat, I glanced around the room. It hadn't slipped my attention that she'd stared at the corners as I fastened the door. This entire fucking house was rigged up to its window panes in security feeds and cameras. I might have bartered for an uninterrupted night, but I wouldn't get it. Ulrich would stay true to his word, and the thought of being naked and balls deep in his slave, vulnerable and surprised, wasn't something I planned to let happen. The moment Pimlico rested upright on her knees, I said, "Forget the phone, no one else exists but us." Her eyes flickered, but she stopped her inner thoughts from shading her completely. "In this room, there is no past or future, just the present. All you need to do is behave, and I'll treat you better than the others." Her jaw tightened. "Don't believe me?" The twitch of her chin gave her reply. "You don't have to believe me. I'll prove it." Shifting onto my knees, I mimicked her position. Unlike her, my joints didn't pop with reluctance. My body was honed, trained, and treated like a priceless tool, because that was what it was. "Yet you want to risk your health by fucking this girl." Well, that, and I wanted something more. I wanted into her damn mind. And if I had to hurt her to achieve that, I would.
Pimlico. I froze as Mr. Prest balanced on his kneecaps before me. His suit rustled as he reached out and placed large hands on my shoulders. His eyes dropped to my breasts as if the obstruction of the white dress didn't hide what lay beneath. I tensed, waiting for him to touch me there again. However, his fingers tightened on my skeletal upper arms, adding pressure until I teetered unwillingly. I fought him, doing my best to ignore his push. "What the hell is he doing?"
"First thing I want from you is..."
He shoved me, smiling as I sprawled sideways with my hands splayed to catch my fall and legs locked together.
"Stop sitting like that."
"Like what? Like a woman who doesn't have a choice?" Almost as if he heard my snark, he once again put pressure on my shoulders, forcing me onto my back.
"Relax."
"No chance." I squirmed upright, wincing at the pain in the throbbing bones in my hand. I didn't trust him not to punch me in the stomach or take advantage of my body when spread out. He didn't let me clamber up, pinning me to the mattress with his fingers around my throat. "Let me go." I stopped breathing, my muscles locked. The provocation of touching me there hurtled me into a whirlpool of horror. "He's touching my neck." My lips parted for breath, fighting so damn hard not to sink. "He's not Master A. Ignore the trigger, ignore it." Our eyes met, mine wide, his narrowed as his body hovered close. "Don't." I didn't know what I asked him not to do, but he stiffened with his mouth only millimeters from my lips.
"Keep fighting me, Pimlico, and we'll have a fucking problem."
His voice trapped me in a net, keeping me from floundering in the despicable dark. How could he tell I was fighting him? How could he hear my silent retorts? I had nowhere to hide with him. I hated it. Suddenly he sat back, removing his hold on my neck and swiping a hand through his hair. I sucked in a lungful of relief.
Something you should know about me, girl.
He bared his teeth at the abhorrent word.
I'm not your master. Like I said before, I see more than he does. I know more than he knows. And I hear every refusal you think.
Remaining on his knees, towering over me, he murmured.
I know you fear I'll hurt you like him and take advantage of you.
Won't you, though? That's what this is all about. I looked at the wall, cutting him off. Mr. Prest grabbed my wrist, tracing his thumb around the bony joint.
Look at me.
I didn't. His voice dropped to a hiss.
Look at me.
We made eye contact. Something charged and grew and collided. The electricity became worse, humming with power. Shit. Drop your eyes. Do it. But I couldn't. Like cement, his gaze kept me imprisoned, unable to break its hold. His lips spread over perfect white teeth.
Ah, finally, a response.
Smiling coldly, he said.
I guessed right, didn't I?
No.
I did. You don't have to refute it.
Shifting, he reclined alongside me, his body not touching mine, but his heat scalding me all the same. His fingers never dropped from my wrist, stroking with tiny whirls of his thumb.
How about we start this again?
He brought my hand to his nose, inhaling my knuckles.
You can sit however you like, but whatever you do, I'll do, and whatever I do, you do.
His thumb pressed hard into the delicate flesh between the burred, brittle bones of my wrist.
Deal?
No deal. His fingers pinched harder. He held me in such a non-sexual place, but my skin burned beneath his touch. I stopped breathing as more electricity sprang hot and so difficult to ignore.
Do you want me to keep squeezing?
His eyes hooded as my fingertips turned white with blood loss.
Because I will, if you don't agree.
If I were half as obedient as I thought I was, I would nod and let him manipulate me into whatever he chose. But something about the way he held me made me think of things I'd never been given. I never enjoyed sex or kisses or caresses. I doubted after the life I'd lived, I would ever find enjoyment in such activities. I knew that to the depths of my soul. But the way this foreign man held me made desperation and hunger for things I didn't understand toil inside. Things not related to sex and domination, but to quality and friendship. God, I wanted a friend. No one had kept me company, but my scribbles weren't enough. Nothing was enough anymore. He chuckled under his breath, his thumb pressing on the mismatch of bones where arteries and veins flowed. His pressure increased as he inched 1, 2, 3 centimeters up my arm, making me shiver.
You're going to tell me what I want to know.
My body jerked as his fingers coiled around my elbow, sending another flood of goosebumps.
You're going to speak to me.
Speak? My hazy eyes tracked to the ceiling, searching for where Master A would be spying. Did his cameras have listening abilities, too? Did he see me lying beside Mr. Prest and believe I spoke in a way I'd never spoken to him? My heart opened a trapdoor and dove into an abyss. If he believed I conversed with a man he despised, he wouldn't just kill me. He'd tear me into excruciating tiny pieces. Listening devices or not, I couldn't afford to let any image hint that I answered questions. I shot upright, not carrying my broken hand burrowed into the mattress, not caring that my forehead cracked against Mr. Prest's, granting agony and black popping stars. All I cared about was getting away from whatever he wanted, because the thought of talking wasn't awful in that fleeting, tempting second, but nice. Groaning, he reared back, holding his forehead the same way I held mine.
God damn it!
Ouch! I rode the wave of pain, slowly blocking it out. However, Mr. Prest beat me. Rubbing his skin, he shook his head.
I knew you'd be hazardous to my health, but I didn't think you'd try to knock me unconscious.
I blinked, eradicating the final shower of stars. Serves you right.
I didn't deserve that.
His black eyes narrowed.
I didn't hurt you.
Yes, you did. Taking a deep breath, he repositioned himself into our original position of knees. His slacks tightened around powerful thighs, straining against the seams. The bulge between his legs seemed larger than Master A, which sent a horrifying cloud through me. Shedding whatever had just happened, he crooked his finger.
Get up. Seeing as you prefer sitting this way, do what I do.
What was he trying to achieve? How could I preempt his next mind game when he didn't know himself what he'd make me do? I felt like a puppy following its leader as I copied his deep breath, sat on my knees, and recentered myself as much as possible. However, I couldn't stop the jittery feeling he'd conjured inside. I wanted nothing to do with the throbbing interest that was as alien to me as regular meals and going outside.
Remember, Pim, new rules. What you do, I do, and what I do, you do.
With elegant fingers, he spread the expensive material of his blazer to the sides, revealing the black t-shirt-clad torso beneath. Slowly he shrugged it off, tossing it off the bed as if it held no value, all while watching me as if I was a priceless seductress. What does he see in me to justify putting his life on the line? I ought to wrench my eyes away, to stop looking, but he wanted me to look. I can't deny I want to look. It didn't matter that I found him an oddity and confusing. It didn't matter that he cornered my mind by forcing me to stay present. Master A just took. He gave me the grace to turn off my thoughts and abandon my body to do whatever he wanted. Mr. Prest did not. Along with rebellion, he brought life and awareness, and even though that awareness made me focus on my smarting forehead from his hard skull and the unwanted tingle in my belly, I couldn't switch off because the night was both long and short. Soon it would be over. Thank God it would be over. He'll leave. He'd leave. My shoulder slumped a little before I remembered I wanted him to leave. I hated him because of the consequences he lumped me with when he'd walked out the door. Master A would most likely kill me. That was all I had to look forward to. A clean death rather than endless punishment. Unless my plan works and Mr. Prest steals me. What did Mr. Prest have to look forward to? An empire he ruled, a kingdom I could only imagine, and a palace I could only dream? Tearing my eyes away, I did my best to silence unwanted thoughts and fell back into my lifeless position.
You can look,
he whispered.
I have full intention of looking at you.
His shoulders bunched as he reached over his head and grabbed the back of his t-shirt. With a dark glare, he wrenched the fabric off, undressing a torso I'd only seen in my fantasies. For a man with mixed authenticities, his body wasn't confused as to what made him excel in this world. Long, lithe arms with perfectly proportioned biceps and tight forearms. Broad but not too broad chest with pectorals and obliques and a washboard stomach that seemed too strong for his skin. But none of that mattered as my eyes drifted toward the sweeping masterpiece. I sucked in an awed breath. His ribcage was visible, his flesh open, revealing a dragon hidden beneath the bones. That can't be. But it was. My fingers itched to prove it, to insert my hand into the chamber of his chest and stroke the hissing reptile within. Somewhere inside me, I knew it wasn't real. Just excellent trickery. Whoever had done the ink had made it look so three-dimensional, so realistic. I swore I looked into his body and witnessed his heart beating, all while the slithering dragon exhaled smoke, protecting its master like the gatekeeper to his soul. Mr. Press didn't move. Sitting on his heels, he allowed my inspection as I swayed forward, fooled into thinking if I turned left or right, I'd see his spleen, liver, and kidneys. The tattoo was so lifelike, so deep in detail. I squirmed at the thought of real bones pressing against me, rather than encased in human flesh.
It's not real.
He ran his palm over his side that looked cavernous and gaping. His fingers whispered over his muscles with no blood from an exposed ribcage or being bitten by the hissing dragon in his cavity.
See?
Dropping his hand, he crooked his chin at my frozen form.
What I do, you must too.
His eyebrow rose, finishing his sentence.
Remove yours.
I stiffened. Being naked in front of him didn't scare me. Nakedness was just another dress code. Master A had cured me of private places or secret spots on my body. But that was before I saw his beauty, both natural and adorned. All I had to offer were muddy bruises and sun-deprived skin. Mr. Press lowered his jaw, his eyes darkening.
Obey.
The word rippled from his mouth to my ears, making me angry and itchy and dazed. He wants to look? Fine. The longer I spent in his company, the more I sensed hesitation on his part. He wasn't like the others, who would have spun me around and taken me over the bed the moment the door was in place. He wasn't here to take me quickly. He wasn't here to take something physical. What does he want? And what will happen if he gets it? Sitting upward on my knees, I cocked my chin at the corner of the room, searching once again for the porter while Master A watched, gritting my teeth, expecting the door to soar open with shrapnel and cannon fire. I grabbed the hem of the white dress and jerked it over my head. The air-conditioned breeze licked around my flesh. I prickled with awareness as Mr. Prest sucked in a breath, his vision tracing paths from my lips to nipples to core. The way he watched me frothed my stomach. I wasn't beautiful like him, but for some reason, he saw something in me that I'd lost so long ago. Leaning forward, he snatched the dress from my hands and threw it on the floor.
Fuck, it's worse than I thought. So much bloody worse.
Worse? Any confidence he'd granted ripped into tear-filled bubbles. Worse? How dare he say such a thing? With nothing to hide myself with, I wrapped my arms around my body, doing my best to shield my nakedness that he'd called me the worst he'd ever seen. Anger swatted at my dismay. This wasn't what I chose. I didn't want to be this skinny and broken. How dare he destroy me so callously? I almost wanted Master A to appear, at least no matter how ugly and beaten I was. He always wanted me. Mr. Prest shifted, his large hands cupping the bulge between his legs.
I'd planned on finding pleasure from you tonight.
He wasn't subtle as his cupping turned to grasping, the outline of his cock a thick rod in his trousers.
I planned on fucking you, because despite your awful fashion sense and wild hair, you turned me on.
Turned me on? Not turn me on. I should be grateful his attraction was past tense. It meant whatever those mad few minutes had been, it was over before Master A stormed in. He glanced at what he stroked.
Does that scare you?
That you wanted me? No. I'd been pretty, once upon a time, but it didn't mean my dark brown hair and mossy eyes were what boys found attractive. However, in this environment, I could safely say all men wanted me, because all the men I came into contact with were heathenous hounds, not seeing me for me but for what I represented. The freedom to fuck and hurt with no repercussions. Until him, of course. My head swam as confusion made me dizzy.
Unfortunately, now I've seen what he tried to hide beneath those awful clothes.
His upper lip curled with revulsion.
And it fucking changes everything.
I couldn't look up. Couldn't bear to stare at a man who'd hired me, then fired me the moment I stripped. I was a slave. I had nothing of my own. My self-confidence was a battered, flimsy thing, and he'd just taken the tiny scrap I had left and stomped all over it. Sucking in a huge gust of air, Mr. Press scrubbed his face.
Drop your arms. Let me see.
I obeyed immediately. He wanted to terrorize himself further by looking upon my grotesqueness. Be my guest. A few seconds ticked past as his eyes roamed over me. Finally, he whispered,
You're more black than white and more blue than healthy pink, but you're not shy about revealing it.
Shy? It wasn't about shyness. It was about knowing my place and doing what I was told. I did what you requested. This man had no notion of the rules and laws I lived in. He didn't have experience dealing with bought creatures. That soothed my rage a little, knowing I might be the worst he'd ever seen, but he wasn't the worst I'd ever encountered.
What happened to you?
His voice dropped to arctic levels. My nipples stiffened at the chill, while his scorching eyes heated me. Did he expect me to tell him when the answers were all around him? Stupid man.
Silence won't save you from me, Pimlico.
Mr. Prest pushed off his knees, reclining on the bed again. His head rested against the headboard, his motion smooth and unhurried. Never taking his attention off me, he straightened his legs and with nimble fingers unbuckled his trousers. I swallowed hard. The soft clink of the metal buckle sounded loud as he tossed the ends of his belt to opposite sides and popped the button before the harsh rasp of a zipper being undone filled the room.
You think I won't touch you just because I've seen your injuries?
My heart took control, bellowing my lungs like a blacksmith forging steel.
You think I'm a nice guy who will treat you with more respect than the men who marked you?
He pulled a waistband of black boxer briefs from his tattooed stomach, inserting his right hand into their depths. His jaw clenched as his hips arched a little, granting some slack for his fingers to wrap around himself. The way his face etched with deep concentration and his teeth imprisoned his lip was the hottest thing I'd seen since I'd been murdered and sold.
I'm not.
His tongue swiped where his teeth had bitten.
I'm not someone you can fuck around. When I ask for something, I expect to get it. Immediately.
A sudden wash of fear and rebellion crashed over me as his hand shifted in his trousers.
You have a choice. Give me what I want, or I'll take what I want.
He smiled harshly, his eyes flicking around the room as if expecting company any moment.
Your pick.
I blinked. I didn't understand this new game. He'd already told me my bruises changed everything, that he no longer wanted me. He could have taken me the moment he'd stolen me, so I threatened me with sex when he would rather be in a different bed with a different girl. My chin pressed against my sternum, doing my best to delete such puzzlement.
Look at me.
His voice turned gruff as his hand moved, whispering with sin. Pinching my thighs to retain some sort of dignity, I did as he requested. This time I couldn't stop my fascination as I drank all of him, from the way his lips glittered, to his stomach rising and falling, and his dragon twisting beneath the optical illusion of rib bones.
Remember, what I do, you do.
My mouth parted in shock. He wants me to touch myself. I'd never touched myself. First, because a strict mother, who barged into my room at all hours with no care for my privacy, raised me, and second, because I lived with a master who made me despise all nether regions. Why would I want to touch myself? Why molest that part of me when it was molested far too often already? He bit his lip again, this time sucking the wet flesh into his mouth as his arm bunched.
Do you want me to treat you like a whore? You'd rather obey demeaning demands than answer a few simple questions?
His voice gruffed to a growl.
You'll learn to make better choices soon enough.
Our eyes locked before a panic attack latched onto my lungs like a parasite. I can't believe I felt safer with this man, that I thought he was different. His face clenched with frustration as I dropped my eyes, letting him have authority.
Tell me where you came from, tell me who stole you, and how Ulrich ended up with you. Give me that, and I'll wrap you in your bedsheet and protect you for the remaining hours we have together. Don't answer, and you'll wish you had.
I trembled, hating the way my back rolled on its own accord, making me smaller, tighter, invisible. Time stretched onward. Finally, he sighed heavily.
Is talking worth that much to you?
He jerked his hand from his trousers.
In that case, let's see how much your voice is worth when everything else is on the line. Elder. I was many things, but an abuser, rapist, and fucking bastard were not part of my abundant faults and flaws. Yes, I'd entered Ulrich's house ready to take what belonged to him. Yes, I had impure intentions of using her for my pleasure. I'd even convinced myself she wasn't my problem. Just a sweetener to our business deal.